when I started writing the worst trashy stuff you ever, none of that stuff's in print. You know, I like it as, you know, complete, you know, started out very good. I started as a really good writer under Tony Boxer's direction. And in 1953, I sold 27 stories that year. And 26 of the 27 were rotten, worthless pieces of fiction. And my agent had to tell me, you know, his best friends won't tell him. My agent said, Phil, write fewer, better stories. The fewest, the best. Maybe one a year. Because they were really terrible. But they were all being purchased.
What about the first novel you sold?
That was The Dun Wilhunt. That was Solar Lottery. And that's still in print. That's been in print off and on for about 20 years. And I've made about $1,500 off it.
And you know, over that there. Is what I mean about...
That's what I mean. That's what I mean. Oh, is that what you mean
that's
about Silver?
That's what I mean. A man who is virtually unparalleled in the field. Nobody knows you. You're, you know, you could... If you'll pardon the hyperbole, be starving to death in a field. You're damn good. You're still going to make $1,500, and
yeah, I got $1,000 advance on the book, and then when they reprinted 10 years later, they gave me $500, and that's the last I ever saw of any money off that book. And it's still in print. I could walk over there and pull a copy out of the bookcase, and it still bears the original publishing date. There's no like second, third printing of the further dates. It still says copyright Ace Books, 1954, or whatever it is. Which is almost borders on the illegal, for them to copyright it rather than giving me the copyright. It means I can't get a reversion on them, where I would get title again, because I never had title. They took copyright on their name, and they just recycle that book, and they recycle it all over the world. People find it in Hong Kong, you know, and the royalty sheets show no copies have been sold since 1954 or something like that.
They print a lot, and they just hope. Of all the novels you have written, I guess, I don't know, my own particular favorites, A Man in the High Castle, of course, Ubik.
Well, the French call it Ubik. Dix Ubik.
And,
I don't know, it's called Ubik Mio Signora in Italian. They had, I guess that means Ubik, my dear sir, or something like that. Well, it does, because I looked it up.
Okay. Shit, are you? What about your own? What about your own working habits? How do you work, or do you have a pattern? Indeed, is it just?
Well, I used to just write all the time. I used to just get up at noon and sit down at the typewriter and write until 2 a.m. Just write from noon in the morning until 2 a.m. You got to do that when you start out, or you're going to die on the vine. I mean, you got to just, you know, you always, you know, you're going to live on $2,000 a year, and you're going to eat. Rocks and dirt and weeds from the backyard for the first 10 years. And then after the first 10 years, you get to eat instant breakfast. You work up to, you're rich enough to get a phone put in, and you get to buy an old automobile. Does that sound like Coco Truck? It does, doesn't it? I'm afraid it does. And you get to drive around in an old Hupmobile, which you crank start every morning. And then after 25 years, you manage to get a used Dodge. It costs you $795. The radio doesn't work in it. You know, and there's people that are standing behind grocery counters are making more money. One time I was in Trader Joe's, the grocery store, and I was talking to the clerk, and he made more money than I did. And I was really sore. I really took it bad. Because he had just hired him. He didn't even have seniority as a grocery clerk. I mean, at least he could have been a senior clerk. I said, how much do you make? And he says, such and such. And I says, jeepers, that's a lot of money.
You do that enough. You get to the point. You know, what the hell? Why am I beating my brains out for $2,000 a year, or $4,000, or even $10,000?
Well, then I answer. I love to write, and I'd write it if they didn't pay me anything.
He's only kidding. He's only kidding, Bantam. He's only kidding.
Oh yeah, that ain't too cool to say. Well, I say that a lot, but you try to. I got an agent who doesn't agree with me. I don't market my own stuff. I market through the toughest, meanest dude in the world. Scott Meredith. You can't jip him. It's impossible to jip Scott Meredith. Because if you do, don't start your car up in the morning.
At least not without checking the engine.
Yeah. Pulling the hood open and looking for extra wires.
So you do like to write. So you said you used to work nonstop? Have
yes.
You changed that pattern?
Yes. Yes. Now, here's what happened to me. This novel that I spoke about earlier, Deus Irae, that Roger Zelazny and I wrote. It took us 12 years to write it. That's really true. And we figured it out. I signed a contract with AA in 1964. This is 1976, right? Well, that's how long it took the two of us. I couldn't even write it alone. I mean, I got like, you know, a third of it done. And I discovered I didn't know anything about the subject matter, which was Christianity. I could sing a few hymns, you know, and I could cross myself. And that was about all. And I had, you know, embarked on a theological novel without knowing anything about theology. So I ran across Zelazny in 1968. I had been working 4 years on a novel. And I said, Zelazny, you know anything about theology? He says, you better believe it, Jack. I said, how'd you like to collaborate with me? I got one third of this thing done. It's all about Christianity. So he took it. And then, like, you know, 8 years went by. And I didn't hear from Roger. You know, I got a postcard one time from the East Coast, you know. I said, Roger's over his head. This is like, just like me. He's doing research. Now I've learned that what you do. So at the end of 12 years, we were able to complete it finally. We each got $400 a piece or something like that. In other words, it was, you know, like the greatest disaster of our joint careers was that novel. We'll never be able to earn back what we put into it in the way of research and work. Now I spend my time doing research before I do the book. I'm not going to get burned like that again. I'm working on another theological novel called To Scare the Dead. But I've done 2 years of research. When I sit down at the typewriter, I'm going to know what I'm talking about. Man in the High Castle, I did 7 years of research for Man in the High Castle. 7 years of research. I did other stuff too during that 7 years. But it took me 7 years to amass the material on the Nazis and the Japanese, especially on the Nazis, before I could sit down and write. That's probably the reason why it's a better novel than most of my novels, that I knew what I was talking about. I knew, and there wasn't anything I didn't know. I had prime source material at the Berkeley Cal Library from the Gestapo, you know, that they had seized after World War II. It was marked for the eyes of the higher police, and the higher police is a term for topiscopic, I hate those people, I really... I was forced to read Gestapo diaries, the Gestapo men in Warsaw, Gestapo agents. I had to read that stuff. I had to sit there.